ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। So as I said, I have a real bad throat. So I may be taking a few sips of water in the middle. Yeah. Some of you are probably doing nirjal. How many of you are doing nirjal today? Okay. I'm not doing nirjal, so don't mind if I take a few sips of water. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So today, as you know, is the auspicious appearance day of Lord Nrsingadev, Nrsingadev Bhagwan ki, Prahlad Maharaj ki. So we are going to read a verse from the Bhagavatam that describes the appearance of Lord Nrsingadev. And if we have time, we'll read a few other verses where Lord Maharaj's instructions are there. So is the verse on the board? I don't know. 7, 8, 17?
Yes.
Okay. Satyam Vidatum
Nija
Vritya
Vashitam
Vyaptim
Cha
Bhutesh
Vakideshu
Shatmanaha Adarshatat Yad
Bhuta
Rupam
Udvahan
Stambe
Sabayam
Na
Mrigam
Na
Manusham
Satyam Vidatam Ijabritya Bhashitam Yaptin Cha Bhutesh Vakileshu Chatmanaha Adarshyata Dhyad Bhuta Rupam Udvahan Sambe Sabayam Na Mrigam Na Manusham Satyam Vidatam Nijabritya Vashitam Vyaptin Cha Bhutesh Vakileshu Chatmanaha Adarshyata Dhyad Bhuta Rupam Udvahan Stambe Sabayam Na Mrigam Na Manusham Satyam Vidatam Nijabritya Vashitam Vyaptin Cha Bhutesh Vakileshu Chatmanaha Adarshyata Dhyad Bhuta Rupam Udvahan Stambe Sabayam Na Mrigam Na Manusham I'm thinking since we have limited time, we'll go straight to the word meaning. Is that okay? Satya, true. Vidatam, to prove. Nija Britya Bhashitam, the words of his own servant, Prahlad Maharaj. Who had said that his Lord is present everywhere. Vyaptin, the pervasion. Cha, and. Bhuteshu, among the living entities and among the living entities and elements. Akileshu, All. Cha. Also. Atmanaha. Of himself. Adarshyata. Was seen. Ati. Very. Adbhut. Wonderful. Rupam. Form. Udvahan. Taking. Stambe. In the pillar. Shabayam. Within the assembly. Na. Not. Mrigam. An animal. Na. Nor. Manusham. A human being. Translation. To prove that the statement of his servant, Prahlad Maharaj, was substantial. In other words, to prove that the Supreme Lord is present everywhere, even within the pillar of an assembly hall. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, exhibited a wonderful form never before seen. The form was neither that of a man nor that of a lion. Thus the Lord appeared in his wonderful form in the assembly hall. You want to repeat after me the translation? To prove that the statement of his servant Prahlad Maharaj was substantial. In other words,
to prove
that the Supreme Lord
is present everywhere,
even within the pillar of an assembly hall. The Supreme Personality of God and Hari exhibited a wonderful form never before seen. The form was neither that of a man nor that of a lion. Thus the Lord appeared in a wonderful form in the assembly hall. Purport by Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. When Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad, where is the Lord? Is he present in the pillar? It's okay. Balaram, it's okay. Prahlad Maharaj fearlessly replied, yes! My Lord is present everywhere. Therefore, to convince Hiranyakashipu that the statement of Prahlad Maharaj was unmistakably true, the Lord appeared from the pillar. The Lord appeared as half lion and half man, so that Hiranyakashipu could not understand whether the great giant was a lion or a human being. To substantiate Prahlad's statement, the Lord proved that his devotee, as declared in Bhagavad Gita, is never vanquished. Kaunte pratijani namme bhakta pranashati. Prahlad Maharaj, demonic father, had repeatedly threatened to kill Prahlad, but Prahlad was confident that he could not be killed, since he was protected by the Supreme Lord. By appearing from the pillar, the Lord encourages devotees, saying in effect, don't worry, I am present here. By manifesting his form as Nrisimhadeva, the Lord also preserved the truth of Brahma's promise that Hiranyakashipu would not be killed by an animal or any man. The Lord appeared in a form that could not be said to be fully a man or a lion. Twisty moon. I'm starting a little late. Maybe I'm going to come 10 minutes later. You can start coming Hare Krishna. You can't come every minute and do it. What? Hare Krishna. Is it okay? Can all of you hear? Sure. What do you want? Where can they hear? Huh? Well, I want you to hear, but that's more important than seeing the face. Can you hear clearly now? Huh? Hare Krishna, can you hear now? Can you hear now? Satyam madvatam nija vritya vashitam yaptinta bhuteshu kileshu chatmanaha rasya tatat yad bhuta rupa mulvahan stambe samayam na megam na manusha. So this verse describes the appearance of the Lord as Lord Sangadev. Nothing is inconceivable for the Lord. The Lord can do anything with any one part of His body. So this seventh canto describes the appearance of the Lord as Narsingadev. And why did the Lord appear as Narsingadev? Why? To protect His devotee, Prahlad. So the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam describes the appearance of the Lord as Narsingadev and the wonderful pastimes and instructions given by Prahlad Maharaj. In the third canto of the Bhagavatam, we read about the Kumaras, the sons of Lord Brahma, entering the spiritual planets. They went through the first six gates of the Vaikuntha planets with absolutely no problem at all. And they obtained such great bliss being in the Vaikuntha planets that when they were stopped on the seventh gate by the doorkeepers, they were very, very upset. And what did they do? They told the doorkeepers, "You are unfit to be here in Vaikuntha." And they were getting ready to curse the two doorkeepers. Devotees of the Lord do not mind getting cursed. Just like Parikshit Maharaj. He was cursed by a Brahmin boy. But he accepted the curse and prepared for his departure in a very exemplary manner. So Jai Vijay did not, since we have limited time, I'm just squeezing everything. We only have 15 minutes more. So Jai Vijay did not mind getting cursed, but the only request was, curse us in a way that we can always keep remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When the Kumaras discovered how dear the doorkeepers were to the Lord, they wanted to withdraw the curse. They thought that they have indeed made a mistake. But then the Lord said, it is my desire that He curse them. The Lord was planning on coming to the earthly planet to perform His pastimes. And He wanted His own devotees to play the role of powerful demons. So this Jai Vijay got cursed to take three births. One of the first birth was that of Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. So we identify Hiranyakashipu as a powerful demon, isn't it? But actually, no doubt, he played the role of a demon. But in heart, he was a great devotee of the Lord. And he appeared in that capacity. The Lord wanted His own devotees to appear as demons. So Hiranyakashipu was very upset when his brother was killed by the Lord who incarnated as four incarnations. He was very upset. He was serving the Lord in an angry mood. And he had identified Vishnu to be his enemy. Hiranyakashipu also knew the philosophy very well. We read in the second canon, chapter of the seventh canto, that Hiranyakashipu was consoling his mother, sister-in-law, and nephews. They were all very upset when Hiranyakasipu was killed. But Hiranyakashipu over there gave them very high philosophy. He gave them the real philosophy. He said, how? He explained virtually the whole second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. He explained how the soul is eternal, the body is perishable. And he gave the example of a king, Suyojana, who died in a battle, and his wives were so upset that they would not let the body go for burial. The normal procedure is, if a person dies in the morning before sunset, he should be burned. And if he dies in the evening before sunrise, he should be burned. But his wives just wouldn't let the body go for burial. And they were crying so loudly that their cries reached the voice of Yamraj. Yamraj disguised himself as a young boy, as a young child can virtually walk anywhere, and gave them the philosophy. He said, they're crying now, will this bring back your dead husband? And he gave an example of a cruel hunter who used to throw food to attract birds. And when they would come to eat, he would throw a net and capture them. So there were two Kalinga birds, and how the cunning hunter had captured the wife. And the husband was lamenting, oh, what am I going to do? Who's going to bring up my children? And as he was lamenting, he also got trapped by the hunter's net. And Hiranyakashipu said, just like travelers, when they travel, they meet together at some location, then again they get separated. So we all come together, and then again we get separated. So Yamraj, Hiranyakashipu explained this philosophy to console his sister-in-law and nephews, etc. So we just gave you this example to show Hiranyakashipu, though he was playing the role of a demon, he also knew the philosophy, and he knew when to use the philosophy. So Hiranyakashipu had great ambitions. What was his principle of ambition? To become immortal. But he knew that if I want this blessing, I have to perform austerities. I cannot just get these blessings just like that. And Hiranyakashipu proceeded to perform austerities. His austerities are almost inconceivable. For example, do some of you do yoga? How long can you stretch your hands up? 10, 15 minutes? Half an hour? Any response? 1 hour? Hiranyakashipu went and stood on his toes, his hands raised towards the sky. And he did not take a drop of water for 100 celestial years. Just imagine. We do nijal for 1 day, we think is a great accomplishment. But Hiranyakashipu, for 100 celestial years, our 6 months are equal to 12 hours of the heavenly planets. For 100 celestial years, he did not take a drop of water. He was standing on his toes, with his hands raised towards the sky, looking up towards the sky, and his whole body had virtually become an anthill. ants and worms were going up and down his body. You know, you have one fly that sometimes sits on your body, or sometimes they give you garlands which have ants in it, and you have ants crawling in your body, and you feel so irritated. But here was Hiranyakashipu. His whole body had become an anthill. And he had become so powerful by his austerities. The difference between the modern-day Hiranyakashipus and the original Hiranyakashipus, the modern-day Hiranyakashipus have no concept of austerity. Austerity, even to the spiritualist today, is more like a foreign word. You have big preachers talking about austerity, talking about religion, but they won't talk about austerity. But Krishna says, three things should never be given up: yajna, dana, and tapasya. Hiranyakashipu was performing austerities, but he had a goal. He wanted to become immortal. So, because of his austerities, he had acquired great power. Fire was coming from his head. There was smoke everywhere. And the demigods were feeling very, very uncomfortable. And demigods, where did they go? Who did they go to? Lord Brahma. They went to Lord Brahma and they said, Hiranyakashipu is performing these great austerities. There's smoke everywhere. We're all feeling suffocated. Please help us. And you know what's the goal of his austerity? The goal is that he wants to become immortal and get your position. We are very happy with you. We don't want you to renounce your responsibility. So, Bhrigu and Daksha and other demigods accompanied Brahma and they went looking for Hiranyakashipu. They were standing right next to Hiranyakashipu. And they could not identify him. And finally they identified. And they saw that Hiranyakashipu's body was all eaten up. He was standing on his toes with his hands raised toward the sky. And his body had become a virtual anthill. So Brahma, when he saw this, oh, Hiranyakashipu, you're performing such great austerities. No one in history can perform such austerities. No one. Oh, from where are you getting all this strength? So then what did Brahma do? He had taken his kamandalu pot, he sprinkled water from the pot on Hiranyakashipu. And Hiranyakashipu became rejuvenated as a young man. He got rejuvenated as a young man, and Hiranyakashipu expressed his request if he could become immortal. Brahma, speaking the truth, said, even I'm not immortal. Even Brahma's duration, though long, but ends at one point. How can I give you that benediction? What did Hiranyakashipu do? He said, okay, if I can't get this benediction directly, then let me get it indirectly. So he extracted various assurances from Brahma. He said, okay, please give me a benediction that I will not be killed by any entity created by you. In other words, nobody would have the strength to kill him. Brahma said, okay, granted, no problem. I will not be killed by inside any residence or outside any residence. Brahma said, okay, granted. Not in the day or night. Brahma said, granted, because you die either in the day or night, then I will not be killed either in the ground or in the sky. Granted. Then I will not be killed by any weapon, human being, and animal. Why did he mention animal? Because his brother was killed by the Lord who appeared as Vara, boring Ganesha. So Hiranyakashipu was very smart. He said, no animal may kill me, no weapon, no human being. Then, not by anything, living or non-living. So having obtained all these assurances from Lord Brahma, Hiranyakashipu was very confident that now he has achieved, which will be the same goal that he wanted. Now no one's going to kill him. And he started terrorizing everyone. He was so powerful that except Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, all the demigods were also scared of him. He had become so powerful. But he became powerful because of the austerities he performed. Brahma, when he saw the level of austerities that Hiranyakashipu had performed, he said, it's unbelievable, Hiranyakashipu. No one can perform these austerities. Therefore, I'm indebted to you and I'll fulfill your request. So Brahma gave him these assurances. So Hiranyakashipu started terrorizing everyone. The demigods were really upset. They went eventually to the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord said, don't worry. When Hiranyakashipu finally terrorizes his son, then I will appear and annihilate him. Hiranyakashipu had four sons, and the most famous of them was Prahlad. Prahlad is also considered to be one of the 12 Mahajans. Sambhu, Narada, Sambhu, Kamala, Kapila, Manu, Praladava, Janaka, Bhismo, Vriravai, Baliyai, Vasakirvaya. The 12 authorities, and one of them is Prahlad. In material life, people have heroes. They have movie stars as heroes, sports stars as heroes, rock stars as heroes. But in spiritual life, we also have heroes. Dhruva Maharaj is one of our heroes. Prahlad Maharaj is one of our heroes. So Prahlad Maharaj had the great fortune of receiving spiritual instruction when he was in the womb of his mother. Prahlad was explaining the philosophy of Bhagavad Dharma to his classmates. He explained the whole philosophy of Bhagavad Dharma. And his classmates inquired, Prahlad, how did he get this knowledge? Prahlad explained how he got this knowledge. When his father was busy, was busy performing austerities, the demigods were scared that a child in the womb of Hiranyakashipu's wife, Vidhima Kayadu, may be another demon, like they say in the material world, like father, like son. You heard that before? So the demigods were concerned, the demigods headed by Indra, they were concerned that the child in the womb of Hiranyakashipu's wife could be another demon. So they wanted to take Kayadu to the heavenly planets, and as soon as she would deliver the child, they would kill the child. As they were dragging Hiranyakashipu's wife to the heavenly planets, who showed up? Narada Muni. Now the money always shows up at the right time and the right place. Dhruva Maharaj was about to leave his palace to go to the forest. Now the money showed up to give him the right instruction. So now the money is also Tika Lagya. And his only mission is to deliver Narayan's message. So now the money said, "Hey, what are you doing? You're dragging this innocent lady." The demigod said, "Don't you know who she is? She is Mrs. Hiranyakashipu." And the child in her womb is another powerful demon. And we've already had enough from the father. So our plan is to kill the child as soon as the child is born. Narada Muni gave her the assurance, gave them the assurance. The child in the womb of this lady is not a demon. He's a great sage, saint, and you will never be able to kill him. He's going to be fearless and a great devotee of the Lord. Indra and the demigods had full faith in Narada Muni's words. And then what did they do? They released Prahlad's mother. And Narada Muni gave her shelter in his ashram. And Narada Muni's only business is to deliver the message of Bhagavad Dharma. So Narada Muni explained the philosophy of Bhagavad Dharma to Prahlad's mother. And Prahlad heard this philosophy when he was in the womb of his mother. Over time, his mother gradually forgot the philosophy, but Prahlad retained the philosophy. So Prahlad, from a young age, had no interest in sports. In the Bhagavatam, you read about the wonderful qualities of Prahlad Maharaj. We don't have time to discuss it. So Prahlad, from his young age, had absolutely no interest in sports. He was only interested in serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He had no other interest. Prahlad's father, Hiranyakashipu, could never comprehend, where is Prahlad getting this spiritual knowledge from? Shukracharya was the spiritual master of Hiranyakashipu. And he had two sons, Sanda and Amarka. And they were running a school. And Prahlad was admitted in that school. So Prahlad would be preaching to his classmates. Prahlad's father was very upset with Prahlad. Why? Because Prahlad was attracted to Vishnu, his enemy. His sworn enemy. He could not tolerate a member of his family being attracted to Vishnu. So Hiranyakashipu was very upset with Prahlad, and he instructed Sanda and Amarka to find out, where is Prahlad getting all this knowledge from? So they would sweet talk him. Sanda and Amarka, "Prahlad, where are you getting all this knowledge from? Who's teaching you?" Hiranyakashipu would say, "It appears that the Vaishnavas are coming in disguise and brainwashing my child about devotion to Vishnu. You teachers are not doing your job." And Sanda Marga would say, "Sir, we are Brahmins. Don't chastise us without any reason. We don't know who is giving us son this knowledge. We are keeping him on guard all the time. We are guarding him. Nobody is allowed to come and talk to him. It appears that he has acquired this knowledge in a natural manner. We have absolutely no idea who is educating your son about Vishnu. But don't worry. We'll brainwash him. We'll teach him the art of diplomacy." So they tried their best. And one day, Prahlad went home. His mother decorated him nicely. He went to his father, offered obeisances to his father. Prahlad's father was very much touched by the son offering obeisances. And Prahlad's father kept the son on his lap, patted him on his head, and inquired, "Son, on the various subjects that you have studied in your school, what is the best instruction that you have received from your teachers?" In other words, the father was expecting that the son would say, "Father, you are supreme." That's what he wanted to hear, isn't it? But what did his son instead do? He explained the ninefold process of devotional service. Sharanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Svarnam, Pada, Sayanam, Acham, Vandam, Dasam, Sakyam, Adminavilam. Prabhupada explains this ninefold process very elaborately in the in the purport of these verses. So he explained the ninefold process of devotional service. And as soon as Hiranyakashipu heard the ninefold process, he was so upset. He said, he threw Prahlad off his lap and he said, "Kill this boy." And I said, "I have a bad throat." He said, "Kill this boy. This boy needs to be killed. He's not going to change at all." So Prahlad had to go through. His father tried virtually everything to kill him. He had powerful elephants walk on him. He had poisonous snakes surround him. You know, we see a snake at a distance and you run away. I remember there was an incident here in Mayapur once when we were here. There was a snake in Prabhupada's bathroom. And then devotees had to come to kill that snake. But he, Prahlad, had poisonous snakes surround him. Elephants walk on him. He was fed. Maharaj is coming here?
Yeah, in 2 minutes.
Let him make 5-10 minutes.
He will take 5 minutes.
Tell him 10 minutes.
As per the request, I call him to his son for the
party. Give him another 10 minutes.
He take 10 minutes.
He can say a few more, a little more downstairs. My time was till 7:30. So Prahlad, in poisonous snakes surround him. He was fed with poison. But in spite of all this, Prahlad was fearless. He was fearless and he was absorbed in just meditating on the Lord. In the Bhagavatam, in the fifth canto, you read the story of Jat Bharat. And you read how Jat Bharat was about to be killed and offered to Goddess Durga. But he was totally unmoved. He was absorbed in his meditation on the Lord and how the Goddess Durga used a chopper to cut the dacoits, and he was saved. So Prahlad was being attacked all the time, but he was totally absorbed in his meditation on the Lord. So Prahlad's father was very upset that in spite of everything, Prahlad, it's still not time. Prahlad's teacher, Sandana Marga, discovered that in spite of their best efforts, Prahlad continues to preach. And now, all the classmates of Prahlad have become devotees. All of them. So Prahlad, so Sandana Marga were really worried. They were worried, now what is Hiranyakashipu going to do? They've all become devotees. So they thought, okay, best is we let Hiranyakashipu know. Okay, they didn't want to keep it a secret. So they went to Hiranyakashipu and told him, in spite of our best efforts, your son is fearless. He goes and meditating on the Lord. He preaches very strongly. And now the whole class has become devotees. We are helpless. So what did Hiranyakashipu said? Okay, now it's time for him to die. And what did Hiranyakashipu do? He came to Prahlad. Prahlad, where are you getting your strength from? Your strength. I've tried everything. We have tried ways to kill you, etc. You still stay alive. Where are you getting your strength from? He said, my dear father, I'm getting my strength from the same source that you're getting your strength. The demons and devotees both get their strength from the same source. Just like electricity. In winter it heats, in summer it cools, but it comes from the same source. So Prahlad said, I'm getting my knowledge from the same source as you're getting your knowledge. Prahlad's father then said, where is your God? My God is everywhere. Is he in this column? Yes. Is he in the roof? Yes. Is he in this column? Yes. And what did he do then? Took his sword and smashed it against the column. And when he smashed it against the column, there was a heavy sound that reached the heavenly planets. Lord Brahma and the demigods thought that everything is going to get devastated now. And out of that pillar emerged the form of Lord Nrsingadev. Nrsingadev Bhagwan ki. That's the verse that we read on the board today. So out of that column appeared the form of Lord Nrsingadev. A form which was half man, half lion. When Hiranyakashipu saw this form of Nrsingadev, that was inconceivable. Can you ever conceive half man, half lion? When he saw that form, Hiranyakashipu knew, this is Vishnu himself who has come to fight me. And then there was a fight between the two. At one time, the Lord had Hiranyakashipu on his lap. And then he let him go. So the demigods who were watching the encounter were greatly aggrieved. They said, oh, the Lord is released. Hiranyakashipu is so strong. He got out of the Lord's grip. Like in the present day movies, they have this fight between the villain and the hero. They probably got all this from Krishna's pastimes. Sometimes it appears that the hero is winning, and sometimes it appears the villain is winning, and in the end, who wins? The hero wins. So I think they probably got this inspiration from Krishna's pastimes. In the encounter with Nrsingadev and Hiranyakashipu, at times it appeared as if Hiranyakashipu had the upper hand. And then finally, keeping all of Brahma's promises intact, by placing on the lap, the Lord pierced Hiranyakashipu's stomach with the nails of his hand, two hands. Prabhupada was giving a lecture on this occasion, and Prabhupada jokingly said, after killing Hiranyakashipu, Lord Nrsingadev told Brahma, Brahma, don't give such benedictions in future. You made my job very difficult. So, Prabhupada said that. So, Krishna, keeping all of Brahma's promises intact, He killed the powerful Hiranyakashipu. So what were the various assurances? He will not be killed by any entity created by Lord Brahma. So he was killed by the Lord himself, who appeared as half man, half lion. Not inside any residence or outside. So he was killed where? Right in the entrance. Not in the day or night. He was killed at dusk. Not in the ground or in the sky. He was killed on the lap of the Lord. Not by any weapon, human being or animal. So he was killed by the nails. He was killed by the sharp nails of the Supreme Lord. So Krishna appeared as Nrsingadev. The Lord appeared as Lord Nrsingadev. He protected his devotee Prahlad. He killed the powerful demon Hiranyakashipu, keeping all of Brahma's promises intact. So only the Lord could have done that. The modern day science, the modern day population may not believe God can appear as half man, half lion. I remember at one time we had a court case in America, and the other side brought a picture of Nrsingadev in the court and said, "My Lord, this is their God, half man, half lion." And actually, the materialist said, "Ah, that's hard to believe." So the devotee's understanding is, God can appear in any form. So Prahlad Maharaj finally approached the Lord. The Lord was so angry after killing Hiranyakashipu that even Goddess Lakshmi was scared of coming next to him. No one could come near him. Finally, Lord Brahma told Prahlad, "Prahlad, you go and garland the Lord." Then Prahlad came and garlanded the Lord. So, and Lord was totally appeased and he became peaceful. Prahlad then said, "My dear Lord, even though my father was a demon, I pray that he may be liberated." And what did the Lord say? Of course he died on the Lord's lap. Nothing to worry, he's already liberated. And it says, up to 21 generations of your relatives get liberated. And they're very wonderful instruction. Prahlad said, "My dear Lord, I only want to have one relationship with you. That you are my eternal master and I remain your eternal servant. Please don't tempt me with any other benediction. I just want one benediction. You are my eternal master and I am your eternal servant. If you want to give me a benediction, give me a benediction that all my material desires may be vanquished and I may be engaged in pure devotional service to you, birth after birth." This was Prahlad's instruction and prayer. And Prahlad also in his prayer says, "Nade vidam svatakatame Vishnu." People do not know what's the real goal of life. The real goal of life is to become Krishna conscious. So on this auspicious day, I know my time is up. Maharaj is here. Okay, no, I'm going to run. So on this auspicious day, what do? We pray to the Lord. What do we pray to the Lord for? Pure devotional service. We should echo the words of Prahlad Maharaj, who said, "My dear Lord, I will only one day have one relationship with you. You are my eternal master and I'm your eternal servant. And I may have no material desires, but the desire to serve you birth after birth." Prahlad Maharaj is also a hero from another angle. He was very compassionate and very concerned about the suffering humanity. Prahlad Maharaj said, Maharaj is here? Huh? He's
coming.
He's coming in how many minutes? Okay. Maharaj is just coming, so I have a real bad throat. So Prahlad Maharaj's prayer was, "My dear Lord, please give me pure devotional service." And in the Bhagavatam it says that anyone who hears Prahlad Maharaj's instructions also will get blessed with pure devotional service. So there are many wonderful prayers offered by Prahlad Maharaj. I thought we have a few minutes, we can just discuss it. He says, Narati vidam swarta gatevi vishnu rurasaya bhai arthamarina andhaya thade rupani amanas pisha tantam urutnami bada. Persons were strongly entrapped by the consciousness of enjoying material life and who have therefore accepted as the leader or guru a similar blind man attached to eternal sense objects cannot understand that the goal of life is to return home back to Godhead and engage in the service of Lord Vishnu. As blind men guided by another blind man miss the right path and fall into a ditch, materially attached men led by another materially attached man are bound to the ropes of fruitive labor, which are made of very strong cords, and they continue again and again in materialistic life, suffering the threefold misery. So Prahlad Maharaj, as we said, was very compassionate. He was always concerned about the benefit of humanity. Even though Prahlad was being chastised and he had guards watching him, still Prahlad would preach. He never stopped preaching Krishna consciousness. And Prahlad, what did he say? When I look at the attempts of the materialists who are trying to convert a position of distress to a position of comfort, my heart laments. So we should take inspiration from Prahlad Maharaj. However, Prahlad Maharaj was always determined to preach. And Prahlad said, there are some saintly persons who may go to the forest or the mountain, but I don't want to go. I want to stay where the devotees are and preach. So this is a preaching movement. We should preach Krishna consciousness. And Krishna himself says in the Bhagavad Gita, nothing is higher than preaching for all my devotees. Who is dear most to me? The one who preaches my glories. He is actually dear most to the Lord. So we should all develop the mood of Prahlad Maharaj. We should all develop the mood of preaching. And we should meditate how Prahlad Maharaj was so determined to preach Krishna consciousness. So walking in his footsteps, we should also develop that mood, the mood to preach Krishna consciousness. Singhadev Bhagwan ki, Prahlad Maharaj ki. I was given the time of 7:30, so I... So Maharaj here now. Can somebody tell me? Because I proceeded on the assumption that Maharaj is coming, so I summarized the whole story. can someone tell me? So we can just do some kirtan, or what should I do? Can someone tell me when Maharaj is coming? So I don't know at all. Can someone check and tell exactly where? Because I was told to stop at 7:30. Can someone, where is Toshi Mohan? So we can take some questions in the meantime. Yeah? Yeah. I'll take a question. Maybe we can do kirtan now.
Sorry?
We can do some kirtan.
Here?
Yeah.
Okay. We have to leave this
place. My throat. But can you tell me how long it will take? So?
I'm calling there, not to blind me, but because you have to go, you know, sometimes you have to go back and all these things, so it takes some time.
Is he coming? Is he not coming?
He come, yeah.
He's definitely coming. What time are they greeting the deities?
It's supposed to be between 8:15 and 8:30, so this is also Bhakti Kusuma Maharaj giving a lecture downstairs.
He's giving to the Bengali. Okay, question.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Check and let me know because I don't know. I jam-packed the whole story based on. Okay. Yes.
Hare Krishna. We know that Nrisimhadeva washed his aunt's ear near Mayapur.
In
Nrisimhapalli. I would like to know where was the fight and where was living Hiranyakashipu.
Well, that's hard to answer. There's so many Maharaj. There's so many versions of where Hiranyakashipu was built. I mean, unless you know, there's so many versions of where Hiranyakashipu was killed. You go to South India, they'll say here. You go here.
This pastime was happened in Satyayuga. Satyayuga. And Prabhupada's purport, it is mentioned on the sky, some particular.
But he doesn't mention the location.
Was,
he doesn't mention the location.
Yeah, he doesn't mention his location.
Prabhupada doesn't mention the location at all.
Yeah, it was on the sky sometime, fighting was going.
Actually, that's not so relevant. I think what's more relevant is the instruction given by Prahlad Maharaj, and how the Lord, I gave the whole story, and but I summarized, yeah, yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for a wonderful Bhagavatam lecture. Could you please explain why Lord Nrisimhadev garlanded himself with the intestines of Hiranyakashipu?
It's a hard one to answer. I don't want to speculate. But Prabhupada, one thing is, sometimes you know, we ask questions that the acharyas haven't commented upon. So it becomes hard for us to, like in that pastime, knowing the purport, as Prabhupada touched on this point. You know, so then for us to give an answer, would just be speculative. And that's the approach I take. There's a very nice prayer in the fifth canto offered by Prahlad Maharaj to Nrisimhadev. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Nrisimhadev, the source of all power. O my Lord, who possesses nails and teeth, just like thunderbolts, kindly vanquish a demon-like desire for fruitive activity in this material world. Please appear in our hearts and drive away our ignorance so that by your mercy we can become fearless in the struggle for existence in the material world. So what Prahlad Maharaj is saying is, I offer my respectful obeisances. This is from the fifth canto. Prahlad Maharaj's prayer to Lord Nrisimhadev. He says, I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Nrisimhadev, the source of all power. So the Lord is the source of all power. He possesses nails and teeth just like thunderbolts. The Hiranyakashipu's body had become so strongly rejuvenated that nothing could penetrate Hirani Kashipu's body. Even a thunderbolt couldn't penetrate. And the Lord, with the nails, was able to pierce his body. So the Lord's nails are more powerful than the thunderbolts. Oh my Lord, who possesses Devadatti just like thunderbolt, kindly vanquish a demon-like desire for fruit of activity in this material world. So, desires for fruitive activities are also not our real goal. As Narottama Das Thakur says, fruitive activity is like drinking poison from a golden cup. So we all have this desire, fruitive activity. I'm doing this, so I must get this in exchange, I must get this in exchange. So Prahlad Maharaj says, my dear Lord, kindly vanquish a demon-like desire for fruitive activity. Please appear in our hearts and drive away our ignorance. So the Lord with Prahlad Maharaj prays, my dear Lord, please appear in our hearts. So the Lord will appear in our heart if we sincerely endeavor to serve the Lord. And then by your mercy, we may become fearless in the struggle for existence in the material world. So in the material world is a struggle. And if you want to be protected in the material world, then what's the alternative? Pure devotional service. And in this story that we just revealed in a summary form, again and again Prabhupada quotes this sloka, Kaunteya Pratijanahi Name Bhakta Pranashati. Arjuna declared to the world, my devotee will never perish. So one of the reasons the Lord appeared as Lord Narasingadeva was to protect his devotee Prahlad. Prahlad had given the Prahlad had told Hiranyakashipu, my Lord is everywhere. Is he in this column? Is he in this pillar? Is he on the ceiling? He said, yes, yes, yes. So, as Prabhupada said in the purport of the verse we read, that the Lord wanted to show to the world that what my devotee has said is true. Then the Lord also appeared in this form to fulfill all these assurances given by Lord Brahma. And for the Lord, nothing is inconceivable. So, the Prahlad Maharaj in the fifth canto prays that please may our ignorance be destroyed and please make us fearless so we can become fearless as we surrender to the Lord's instructions. Then there's another very good verse. Swasyastu Vishwasa Kalapasidatam Nihantu Bhutani Shivam Mithodiya Manasya Bandham Bhadita Dadokshadek Veshatam Namadir Apayiduki. May there be good fortune throughout the universe and may all envious persons be pacified. This is the desire of a devotee, that all envious persons be pacified. Envy is deep-rooted in us. And how can you overcome envy? By the power of devotional service. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you read the story of a Moga who was very envious of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya placed his hand on his chest and said, as long as the envy is there, Krishna will not reside. So, we can become free of envy by taking shelter on the Supreme Lord. May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga. So by practicing bhakti yoga, may all living entities become calm. For by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. If you take devotional service, that is real welfare work. Sometimes we get accused, oh, you people are not doing anything for the poor people. The real welfare work is giving people knowledge about devotion. This is the highest welfare work one can engage. Let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence. Let us all engage in service of the Supreme Lord and always remain absorbed in thoughts of Him. So this is... He's coming down. I thought of a good idea. We'll do namaste prayers. Maharaja is coming in a minute. Namaste Narasinghaya.
Namaste Narasinghaya.
Dala dala dadaini.
Dala. Hiranyakashi Purvaksha
Shilatam Kanakalaye
Shilatam Kanakalaye
Ito Nasinga Parato Nasinga
Ita Nishinga Parato Nishinga
Yato Yato Namitato Nasinga
Yato Yato Namitato Nishinga
Bahe Nasinga Hidaye Nasinga
Bahe Nishinga Hidaye Nishinga
Nasinga Madhin Saranam Prapadaye
Nasinga Madhin Saranam Prapadaye
Kavakala kamala barena kam Arbutta sringam Dhalita Hiranya kashipu Tanu brengam Keshavadrita Nalare rupa Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadish Hare Jai Jagadish Hare
Kavakara Kamala Vare Nakha Suta Shingha Suta Hiranya Kachiko Kavarinda Keshavadita
Bhagwan ki, Prahlad Maharaj ki, His Holiness Jayaprakash Swami Maharaj ki.